today the message I have to share with you talks about a God-given kingdom destiny that the Lord has for all of us. And I just want to pray before I start sharing the message God put in my heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to present this message and this church that is here tonight. And I want to ask you that you will speak to everybody here, Father. I want to ask you that you shed lights in their lives that will help them to change paradigms, that will help them go to the next level in you and live and experience all you have for their lives. I pray for inspiration. I pray for anointing. I pray for demonstration, Father, of your presence here tonight with signs and wonders. I pray that you heal the sick, that you set free the oppressed, that you save those that don't know you yet, and that you build your people so we can be closer and closer to your Father, to your heart, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. And I want to start reading from Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. So if you have a Bible, please open your Bible. If you're using a gadget, load Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Or you can just follow in the screen as well. The verse will be there. This verse says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From ancient times, God has a plan for every single one of you in this room. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old. It doesn't matter how rich or how poor. It doesn't matter the mistakes you have made. It doesn't matter the struggles you have in your life and the challenge you are facing even right now. There is a God-given kingdom destiny for you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, it's important that we understand that this purpose from God, this kingdom destiny that He has for each one of us, He will not impose it on us. He's not going to force it upon our lives. We are invited to embrace His calling. We have to respond to His calling. And tonight, God is calling you. How will you respond to Him? He wants you to live a life with meaning and abundance that will impact this world. You are called to be a world changer. You are called to be a mover and a shaker, a history maker. You are called to shape culture for Christ. And it doesn't matter if you are the president of the United States or a missionary going to foreign nations or if you are a homemaker. God calls you to impact the world you are in. Some are called to go overseas like Brother Dave and I, but some are called to make a difference right there where you are, in your workplace, in your family. God is calling you. How will you respond? He called Abraham. He responded and became the spiritual father of all who believe. He called Moses. He responded and became the deliverer of Israel. He called Paul. He responded and became the greatest among the apostles. And in this generation, He is calling you. And friends, in order for you to experience the fullness of what God has for you, you need to position yourself to receive all what He has. And to position yourself means you have to move from where you are to where you need to be. To position yourself means that there must be changes in your lifestyle, in your thinking process, and even in the way you pursue God. And so today I want to share a few dynamics with you that will help you to position yourself to be a world changer. Will help you to position yourself to live and fulfill your God-given kingdom destiny. Are you ready? And I want to start by saying the first dynamic I want to share is a world changer will move into a mindset of abundance. In John 10:10, Jesus told us that he came to give us life and life to the full. All through the Bible, God is telling us that if we listen to his voice and obey him, there will be no lack to fulfill his purpose. All through the Bible, we are challenged to move from a mentality of lack, from a mindset of lack, to a mindset of abundant provision from God, so his plans will be fulfilled on earth and in our lives. The thing is, God will show us a mission, but the devil will show what is missing. God will show us a mission, and the devil will try to show us what's lacking. You see, God told Adam and Eve, multiply and populate the earth. Well, the devil showed them they didn't have any clothes. When God appeared to Moses, he said, Moses, you are going to Egypt and you are going to bring down the Egyptian empire. You're going to set my people free. And how did Moses answer? Me? I'm an old man. I can even speak well. How am I going to do this? Who am I? But it was when he let his mentality, his mindset, go from a focus on what was missing, and he put his focus on God's abundant power, is that he was now ready to be used as the deliverer of Israel. Since the fall, since the sin entered mankind, we have a tendency to focus on what is missing, to focus on what is lacking. But God is calling us to have a mindset of abundance to fulfill his purpose. In John chapter 6, Jesus is ministering to a crowd of at least 5,000 men. And his heart was filled with compassion, and he wanted to feed that crowd. And when he talked to the disciples, what was the answer from Philip? How, Lord? We don't have the money. Even 200 denarii would not be enough to feed these people. You see, Philip had a mindset of lack, but Jesus had a mindset of abundant provision from God to fulfill his purpose, so that his will be done on earth as it is in heavens. The mindset of lack will make people negative and critical of others. But friends, that's not the world is in need of. The world is in need of problem solvers, solution providers, people with a mindset of abundance. It's for those that the crowds you gather to hear. It's the legacy and the memory of those with a mindset of abundance that will be honored long after they are gone. You see, people with a mindset of abundance are solution people. People with a mindset of lack are problem people. People with a mindset of abundance will find solution for problems. But people with a mindset of lack will find a problem in every solution. People with a mindset of abundance will go forward in the Lord, will cross the lines, just like we heard from Brother Todd today. They will shape society, they will impact the world, they'll be world changers. But people with a mindset of lack can only sit back, watch, and criticize. So perhaps today you are struggling with challenges in your life. Maybe you are looking at God's calling for you and you're thinking, how am I going to do that? Maybe you are focusing on all the struggles and the issues you have to face. And today I want to challenge you in the name of Jesus to change your mind and put your focus on Jesus and His abundant power and provision to do all His will in your life. In Jesus' name, learn to move into a mindset of abundance and depend on God's limitless power for your life. It's a walk of faith. It's a journey. Number two, world changers are moved by courage. The Lord tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Over and over again, the Bible tells us that we should not be afraid, that we must be courageous. And the reason is wonderful. You were not alone. You were not alone. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, is with you. And we need to understand also that courage is not the absence of fear, no. Courage is the attitude that will take you beyond fear. True courage is when you are afraid, but you go ahead and do it anyway. You know, the only way you will know how far you can go in a journey is if you have the courage to start it. The only way you know how far you go in the Lord is if you have the courage to start this journey. Last year, I was in the nation of Bangladesh. Bangladesh is the third largest Muslim nation in the world. It has the area the size of the state of Illinois and has 170 million people living in there. Over 96% are Muslims, a lot of them radical Muslims. When I arrived in the country, there were 200,000 radical Muslims marching on the streets of the capital city, Dhaka. They were demanding the Sharia law and the death penalty for the enemies of Islam, which would be us. And I got there under this climate in the nation. People were very tense. We drove up north to hold our crusade in an area with over 1 million people that had only one church with 20 members. In that area, in that country, there are millions who never heard the gospel. And we had an amazing crusade. God opened blind eyes, the lame walked. There was a lady who had tumors in her neck, and the doctor sent her home to die. But the tumors disappeared during prayer. It was wonderful. God did many miracles. Yes, give him a hand of applause. He deserves it. Hallelujah. In that crusade, we had over 3,000 decisions for Christ, and three new churches were birthed out of that crusade. But you see, the first night, two vans filled with radical Muslims parked behind the platform. They all had white robes, long beards, white hats, and one of them had an iron bar in his hands. Our interpreter was very nervous, and after that meeting, he went to the police and found out that there was a bomb threat against the crusade. So all the buses coming to the meeting were searched for bombs, and the people went through metal detectors. So every night, I had to be there, aware that it could be my last message, that a bomb could go off at any time. And it doesn't mean I wasn't concerned. No, but I was obeying what God had told me to do in that nation. By the way, I'm going back to Bangladesh next month. Anybody here would like to come with me? So please pray for me. Last week of October, I'll be there again. And I believe God will continue to do mighty signs and wonders. And churches will be birthed. And sons and daughters for God will be birthed out of that crusade. Amen? World changers, the third dynamic I want to share, world changers are moved by perseverance. Jesus prays in John 17, verses 4 and 5, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Friends, Jesus brought glory to God. He brought glory to God by finishing the work he started. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And because he finished that work, God crowned him with glory. But see, before the crown of glory, Jesus had to deal with the crown of thorns. And it's like that in our lives. Sometimes we have to face and deal with the thorns before we experience the glory. And that's why we must have perseverance. You know, a lot of people do have the courage to enter a battle, but after the first scare, the courage is gone. But you need perseverance to become a world shaker. You need perseverance to experience, to live up to all God has for your life. Perseverance is the insistence of courage. And I want you to repeat that. Perseverance is the insistence of courage. And it is more important than talents. You know, there are millions around the world with amazing talent. They are very intelligent, or they have beauty or high education, but they are not going very far in life because they lose heart in the face of difficulties. On the other hand, there are also a lot of people in this world that have immense challenges in their lives, but they are accomplishing great things because they are enduring the trials. They are enduring the hardship. They have a heart, a life filled with perseverance. You know, people without perseverance are like an airplane sitting on a tarmac, filled with people, ready to go, but with no fuel in its tank. The potential is there, but they're not going anywhere. And so today I want to challenge you to look into your own life and think about the unfinished projects that you have. Maybe situations that you have in your life that when you were facing the thorns, you were afraid and you just did not persevere. What are the dreams and visions God has placed in your heart that you need to persevere to see them fulfilled? You know, God leads us into a growth throughout our spiritual lives. And in order for us to move to the next level, you need to finish the tasks where you are at right now. Which area of your lives are you in need of perseverance? If the thorns are scaring you, learn to see the glory that is waiting for you beyond that. I remember a lady that was healed in one of our crusades in Brazil. She had a paralyzed leg. She could only drag herself. She received a pamphlet inviting her to the crusade. And I was told that when she got that pamphlet, she was so excited. And she said, "I know if I go there, if I go to this crusade, I'll be healed." Well, the problem is she lived 500 miles away from the crusade. But that did not stop her. She spent 3 days taking rides in cars, buses, trucks, until somebody brought her to the crusade ground. It was just a soccer field with dirt, and they laid her there. And she waited all day to the crusade in the evening. And I shared the message. I didn't even know she was there. And we prayed the prayer of faith, just like we're going to pray here tonight. And I believe God will do miracles here. Amen. And when I said, "In the name of Jesus, put your faith in action and do now what you couldn't do before," she was one of the first to stand up and start walking, completely healed by the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do not let the thorns hold you back from the glory. Amen? Another dynamic I want to share is that world changers are moved by compassion. Matthew 14:14 says that when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. See, when Jesus was moved by compassion, miracles happened. You know, compassion is when you are touched by the need of others and you are moved to help. And compassion is a powerful force that moves the very heart of God. And we learn in the Word of God that this compassion is expressed by generosity. Our world wants us to live egotistical lifestyle, centered in ourselves. But Jesus said in Acts 20:35 that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Compassion is expressed by generosity. And I'm not talking about here just coming to church and giving your money at church. No. Generosity and compassion, according to the Word of God, go much beyond that. I'm talking here about you making room for the Holy Spirit, fill your life with love for those who are in pain, and you come out of your comforts and invest yourself in those people. Invest yourself in those lives. World changers give from themselves, their time, their money as well. Some you give even their lives. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." How does that look like? I believe he explains it in the same sentence when he prays, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The kingdom of God comes when the will of God happens here on earth as it is in heavens. And there is no poverty in heaven. That's why God wants no poverty on earth. There is no sickness in heaven, and that's why we must bring the message of healing to the nations. There is no lack in heaven, and that's why God wants you to move to a mindset of abundance to fulfill His purpose. But see, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom is within you. That means that the kingdom of God will come, that His will be done on earth as people that are kingdom-filled step out of their comfort in love, in compassion, in mercy, in generosity, and change the world. And when you do that, amazing miracles happen. I think about Jesus when he met the Samaritan woman. If you read the Bible, he was in a journey. He was going from a place to the next. And then he had that encounter that completely changed the life of that woman and of the people who lived in the same city that she lived. You see, Jesus did not miss the miracle of the moment because his heart was driven by compassion, generosity, and love. You know, many of you will be driving down the road or be busy doing something, and the Holy Spirit will just bring promptings to your heart of compassion, of love, things that may just break your routine. They mess up, perhaps they will mess up with your routine. But when you do that in faith, you see the miracles of God. You know, we like to give food at our crusades, and we usually choose the poorest of the neighborhoods and knock at people's doors. And when we give them food as a demonstration of God's love and care for their lives. And last month of March, we were having a crusade in a city called Juazeiro. And we picked the poorest neighborhood. It was a slum. And we were going door to door with a team, giving food, praying for people. God was healing people, setting demoniacs free. People were giving their lives to Jesus. It was wonderful. Then we got to the poorest street in that poorest area of the city. It was just a place going downhill. It was impossible to get there by car. You had to walk there. The homes were all mud homes. And one of the last homes, we knocked at the door, and a 72-year-old gentleman opened the door. He lived in so much poverty, it was heartbreaking. and such hardship, that man was taking care of his granddaughter, who was 1.5 years old. His daughter had the baby and left. And so a neighbor was helping him, but that neighbor too, she had 4 daughters. Her husband left to find a job 2 years ago, and he never came back. And so as we were sharing about Jesus with that man, I saw excitement. He was just so happy we're bringing them food. And then he stopped me, and he said, just as there is God in heavens, last night I had a dream that you were coming here and telling me the truth. So what is it you have to tell me? Hallelujah. My friends, that's our God. He cares about the poorest man in the poorest street in the poorest area of town, giving prophetic dreams to reveal Jesus. But you have to move out of your comfort zone to experience that. And God is challenging each one of you here tonight to go beyond where you have already been, to cross the line. I think I just learned a new English expression. You cross the chicken line? That's new for me. Just learned something tonight. You know, Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25 says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. We have to understand whatever we pour into others, people's lives, God will pour in our lives. If you pour resentment, you're going to get resentment. If you pour love, you're going to get love. If you refresh others, you will be refreshed. And I want to move ahead here talking about our fifth dynamic, which is world changers are moved by a passion for souls. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, we read that God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If there is one thing you can be absolutely sure in your life, is that God wants all people to be saved. Every single one of them. The people you love and the people you don't love. The people in America, in Brazil, and in Bangladesh. Your friends and your enemies. God wants all of them to be saved. And it's so important that Jesus commissioned all his church to go to all the nations and proclaim the gospel of salvation. You see, we have now about 7 billion people living on earth. And about 3 billion of them have never heard the gospel message, have never had a clear presentation of the gospel. So this is a challenge. But I want to look at these numbers more like an opportunity. An opportunity. A harvest opportunity. You see, if we step out and do what God told us to do, we may see the largest harvest of souls in history. Yeah. Hallelujah. In our generation, in my lifetime, and in your lifetime, we can potentially see the largest harvest of souls that ever existed in the history of Christianity. We got to do something about this. We got to cross the chicken line. Step out and do something. Billions in our generation are dying and going to hell. This is serious business. It's urgent. We need to understand that God is counting on us, on you, to go there and be a world changer, winning souls for Christ. In one of our crusades, we were going home to home, and I love going home to home. Amazing things happen. Even in Brazil, Dave and I, last Friday, not yesterday, but the Friday before, we gave an interview in radio in town. And when we finished the interview, we stepped out of the home. And right in front, there was a lady with crutches. She heard the interview and was waiting for us and asking for a prayer. She was, come here, come here. We walked into her home. She was with her daughter. We prayed over her. She was healed. She walked without her crutches. And that family gave their lives to Jesus. Amen. And I was in another crusade in a city named Apodi. And in that city, we were going home to home. And all of a sudden, a guy from another team came running. Rubens, we need you. Please come and help. And I run there to see what was going on. And there was a man in front of a house. He was weeping. He was just sobbing and saying, "My wife is insane. If you can do anything to help us, please help us." From inside the home, we heard a woman screaming, "Get away from here. I don't want these people in my home. Leave now." And for a moment, I did not know what to do, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said it was a demonic oppression. So I told the team, "We are going in." And we walked into that home, went straight to the bedroom. She was laying in bed, demon-possessed, screaming, cursing. I did not waste time, just laid hands on her and said, "In the name of Jesus, spirit of insanity, come out." And she shook and was like that. And I knew the Holy Spirit was working her life, so I told the team, "Let's go to the living room and minister to the family." So we went there. It was a very poor home. They didn't even have doors between the rooms, just cloth hanging to separate the rooms. And so we ministered to the family. They accepted Christ. And I told the team, "Let's go back and continue to pray with that woman." We walked into the room, started to pray over that lady on bed. And she opened her eyes and looked up and said, "Everything is so different. I feel so peaceful." I said, "That's great. Jesus is healing you. Come out of this bed and walk with me." And so we helped her, took her out of that bed, walked to the living room. And when we got there, the family started to weep again. We did not know, but she had been bedridden for 20 years. Can you imagine that? 20 years oppressed of the devil, bedridden, insane. It is a great miracle, but it saddens me that for 20 years, nobody knocked at her door. Nobody went to that home to tell them that Jesus is alive today and he could change their lives. It makes me think about the millions upon millions right now in America, in Brazil, all over the world who are bound by demonic oppression, who are lost in their ways, far from God, marching to an eternity of condemnation. And we have the answer for them. We have the light they need. World changers need to be soul winners. The eternity of billions are at stake. And the sixth dynamic I want to share is that world changers succeed by integrity. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace." Amen. He saved us by grace and for a purpose. He saved you by grace for a purpose, for a God-given destiny. And he calls you to a holy life. Friends, we are living a crisis of integrity around the world. I don't need to talk about that. You all know it. It has contaminated many of the institutions all over the world. And that's one of the reasons, as a Christian, you must make integrity one of the greatest goals in your life. And a crisis of integrity is actually a crisis of faith. I want you to read what's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 33. And it's talking about the heroes of faith. And it says here, "Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. See, it's telling us right here that acts of righteousness or acts of integrity are acts of faith. Because it comes from the confidence that God will take care of you and your family. On the other hand, the underlying reason for the lack of integrity is the lack of confidence that God will provide for you and your family. God is calling us to live holy lives, lives of integrity. And if you're dealing with anything in your life tonight, I want to call you, repent and let the grace of God change you. Because integrity is the essence of all true and lasting success. And finally, world changers are moved by the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person." Amen? World changers are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will change you into another person. But we are not talking here just about the power. We're talking about intimacy. We're talking about walking with the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to His promptings, learning with Him about His plans for our lives and the lives of others. Like Brother Todd said today, even if we go through, let me see if I say it right, fabulous faith failures. Is that right, Brother Todd? Where are you? Is that right? Even if we have that, we are all learning here. We are all growing here. But when you have the power of God in your life, it's impossible for people around you not to realize it. You see, when the Spirit of God came upon Moses, plagues came upon Egypt, and the people were set free from slavery. When the Spirit came upon Joshua, he marched around the walls of Jericho, and they fell down. When the Spirit came upon David, he became a slaughter of giants and the king of Israel. When the Spirit came upon Elijah, fire came down from heaven. When the Spirit came upon Peter, he was changed into another man filled with boldness to preach miracles in the name of Jesus, to the point that his shade was healing people. This generation needs to experience the power of God and have an encounter with His glory. This generation needs an encounter with God, and that is going to happen through you. Are you seeing people healed and saved and set free like the first disciples did? Because if you are not, I want to invite you to go back to that power source again and again until you are completely filled with His presence. Because the Holy Spirit will empower us to be effective witnesses for Christ. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said that we would receive power from the Holy Spirit and be His witnesses. There is no lack of power when our greatest pursuit in life is to surrender our lives to Jesus and seek the salvation of the lost. The Holy Spirit is your helper, is your advocate, and He is here tonight to put His arms around you and help you to be transformed so you can go on in this wonderful journey of knowing and living God-given destiny to your life. He wants to empower you, to change your mindset from lack to abundance, to give you faith, courage, and perseverance, to give you a compassionate heart. He wants to make you a world changer, a history maker, an agent for His kingdom. How will you respond? It is an invitation. Will you embrace it? 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." His eyes are ranging this church tonight. He is looking for hearts that are fully committed to Him. Perhaps you are listening to what I'm saying and thinking, well, but I can't do crusades. I can't go to the nations. What can you do then? What can you do then? You are called to impact the world you are in. You start where you are. You know, we do crusades nowadays that some will attract tens of thousands. But when I began, I was preaching at bus stops, at classrooms. Who knows where God may take you next? Be faithful where you are right now. Be faithful where you are right now. And the last verse I want you to read is in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 and 42. It's talking about Jesus, and it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day, what would bring you peace? But now it's hidden from your eyes. You see, Jesus wept. He wept. That's how much his divine, compassionate heart was hurt, because the people of Israel missed their opportunity. They missed their God-given destiny. They rejected God's purpose and plan for their lives. Jesus was so hurt that he wept. They missed it. But now, it's your generation. It's your turn. It's your time. You can't afford to miss it. Don't waste your life. Let the Holy Spirit transform you and make you all God meant you to be. Let's pray. Let's stand.